Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's mission is to protect human health and the environment. To meet this mission, EPA hosts many IT systems that support its mission requirements, including rulemaking, communicating with the public, protecting health and the environment, and strengthening EPA's relationship with its partners domestically and internationally. EPA's Office of Environmental Information plays an integral role in supporting these systems, moving the agency to a more effective use of technology, harnessing the power of information, and transforming EPA's IT resources and business processes to work together in a unified whole. What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? How is EPA modernizing its technology infrastructure and ensuring IT investments align with its overall mission? How is the EPA providing balanced stewardship between information and technology? We'll explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Ann Duncan, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Ann, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Ann, what is the mission of EPA's Office of Environmental Information?
Sure. The mission of the Office of Environmental Information is really to obviously provide technology support to the agency. And it's broader than just, say, providing computers or network infrastructure, but really to broadly improve the agencies and the public's and our co-regulators and the regulated communities' access to information. So we provide a variety of information-related services to our internal and external partners. And we also support some activities that span the entire federal government. We provide services for rulemaking and FOIA management for the entire government, along with the work that we do with the regulated community, the states, and the tribes to support their work in the environmental area.
So would you tell us about your specific duties and responsibilities as EPA's Chief Information Officer? How is your office organized, and how do you support the overall mission of EPA?
As the Chief Information Officer of EPA, I'm responsible for a wide range of duties that I'll explain to you probably most easily by going through the offices and talking about the structure. But I want to also say that the most important part of my job is really defining a strategic vision for the agency from a technology and information standpoint, and helping the agency move to that vision, putting the processes and tools in place to allow us to be successful in supporting both the internal partners and our external partners, such as the regulated community, the states, and the tribes. So in terms of the organization, so I have seven offices plus my immediate office. And the first office I have is the Office of Enterprise Information Programs. That office is focused on the use, release, and management of information resources. They run a number of standalone programs, our agency quality program, our FOIA program. They run our libraries. They run FOIA Online, which supports other agencies, and e-rulemaking that supports other agencies. We also have the Office of Information Technology Operations, which is actually our operational arm. So they do all the operations for the agency, everything from running the network to provisioning mobile devices and everything in between. We have what we call the Office of Information Management. That office is responsible for a number of important programs. They run, like all the offices are, they're all important. We wouldn't be doing them. But they run the Exchange Network, which provides data exchange services and a large number of shared services that support not only EPA, but also the states, tribes, and regulated community. And that includes the Enterprise Program, which is a really exciting program that supports our collaboration with the states and tribes and also our modernization of technology. And I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk more about that later. They also run our data analytics program as well, and provide a great deal of external facing information, including open. They run the open data program, and they manage our website. There's the Office of Information Security and Privacy, which very simply runs our privacy and security programs. And then our Office of Business Operations, which is pretty straightforward. They run our internal OEI program resources. And then two new exciting offices we created. One is the Office of Digital Services and Technical Architecture. They do all our modernization efforts. They provide all our agile development services. And they're working on innovation and change in the organization. And then the Office of Customer Advocacy, Policy and Portfolio Management, they are focused on improving our working relationship with our customers across the agency. Because one of the things we learned before we reorganized is that the folks in the agency don't fully understand how to interact with OEI. And so we wanted to provide that opportunity to create that and also really strengthen our relationships. So that's the overview of our offices.
And regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the three top management challenges you face in your position, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
So the number one challenge that we're facing, which probably is no surprise to anyone in the government or anyone who's watching the government, is modernizing our legacy systems. Right? We have a significant number of legacy systems, not as many as many other agencies, because EPA has only been around since the 1970s. So you can only develop so much legacy in that time frame. But we're really trying to modernize our systems, and we're trying to make ourselves an agency that's easier to navigate. So if you're part of the regulated community, part of our modernization effort is not only the way we build our systems, but the way you interact with us. So really focused in modern terms on user experience. And that's all about changing our internal culture so that we can develop and implement systems more effectively. And obviously a second challenge will always be cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is an area we must continue to focus on. We've done some great work in this area, but you can never stop thinking about it, because the minute you stop thinking about it, the bad guys are going to be on your doorstep. And then finally, I think the third major change I would point out is simply that we struggle with figuring out how to streamline some of the processes around the agency that support us so we can do our work more effectively.
And what has surprised you most since taking on your current role as EPA CIO?
So I think when I came... I worked at a large corporation, and then I worked for the state, and I thought that I was pretty familiar with bureaucracy and how hard things could be. But there are certain things in the government that are harder to accomplish than you could imagine. And, you know, we have lots of really capable people in the government. We at EPA in particular, I'll say, because it's my agency, has an incredibly talented, dedicated workforce. And we have built up so many rules and laws over the last 200 years, many of which are obsolete, but that we continue to have to follow, that getting things done, buying things, hiring people, a variety of other things is extraordinarily hard. And it's not because our employees aren't working hard and aren't trying to do the right thing. It's because the system we've put in place is deeply flawed at this point. And so we need to figure out ways to fix the system. And actually, I'm involved in some efforts coming out of the White House to do just that, to find ways to fix the system to support our transformation efforts so IT can be more effective, the government can be more efficient, and we can do better with taxpayer dollars.
So, Anne, could you tell us more about your career path? How did you begin your career, and what brought you to your current leadership role?
Sure. I graduated from Georgia Tech and went to work almost directly to HP. And while I was at HP, I worked in a variety of places. My actual educational background is industrial engineering, and I studied manufacturing systems in graduate school. And I actually started at HP designing large material handling systems, so these things that are building size systems. And after a few years at HP, after working on two different programs that went to our factories in Southeast Asia, it occurred to me that unless I wanted to spend the rest of my career flying back and forth to Singapore, I probably wanted to shift to do something else. So I moved into software quality and then in R&D. And ultimately, from my time at R&D, I found myself doing IT operations on some front-end IT businesses with HP, and ultimately in an IT organization. So over the course of 20 years, you know, I moved from manufacturing, software quality, R&D, IT, at the end of my career at HP, back into R&D. So a real breadth of how you manage businesses, how you get products out the door, and basically how to get stuff done. And then after HP, I worked for the Palo Alto School District for 5 years as their chief information officer. We actually called it chief technology officer in education, but it was essentially the same thing. and then was lucky enough to get a phone call from the White House to be invited to come out to D.C. and become a CIO.
And what are the characteristics of an effective leader? And perhaps you could illustrate how you've been such a leader.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into being an effective leader. And so I could give you a long list and I probably would only hit half of them. But I think that, you know, so I'll just sort of pick on a few things that I think are meaningful. So I think effective leaders are honest with their teams, right? They're very clear and straightforward about their expectations, and they don't set higher expectations for staff than they have for themselves. And in fact, most really, truly effective leaders hold themselves to higher expectations than they hold others. But building that honesty and that high set of high expectations that's shared, creates an environment where people are trust and respect you and will do work for you. So I think those are important characteristics. I also think it's important for leaders to set a vision and to create a shared vision, right? To be very clear about the vision that they have, and then to find ways to encourage people to get on board with that vision, because if it's only your vision as a leader, you're not going very far. It needs to become a vision that can be shared. And part of that, too, is setting up work conditions that make people successful. So, and being clear about what those conditions are and what your values are. For example, we talk in our organization about having a bias towards action. Government often doesn't have a bias towards action, and that's because people are scared to take risks. So we try and encourage people to take risks, and we try and structure those risks in a way that they're smart and they're small, and people can be successful because they have the support and buy-in that will enable them to take those risks. And that helps people become more empowered, more willing to take some chances to do the right thing in an environment where they know that if something fails, first of all, it's not a big failure because we've structured things so they're not a big failure. And secondly, so that they know they have support of their management. And so I think that leaders set up those conditions for success. When I worked at HP, we described leadership as moving boulders and carrying water. And I think that's a great description because it's about helping people be successful in the end. So that's sort of a few of my characteristics that I would apply to being a leader.
What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? We will ask its CIO, Ann Duncan, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.